a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and everybody out there listening to AM 1080 KSCO. It's 7 minutes past 10 a.m. Welcome to hour number one of our Saturday special for today. We're going to be talking about a trolley idea. The controversy is being generated by this topic, and we're going to be on the air for the next 2 hours, so we're going to welcome your input. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
David Wright thinks a rail trail and trolley from Aptos to Santa Cruz is a great idea. People can ride their bikes to Santa Cruz. There'll be less pollution and an economic boom to the area. On the other hand, Marilyn O'Rourke sees damage to the biological resources, health dangers from creosote, and noisy midnight freight trains. Who's right and who's wrong? Join this spirited Saturday special this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon with your host MZ and both sides of the Aptos Rail Trail debacle. That's this Saturday on the Saturday special from 10 a.m. to noon on your Path of Least Resistance radio stations, AM 1080 and 1340 KSCO.
There's our cat fight music, ladies and gentlemen. That means it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out Saturday. No, not really. Well, I don't know. That always makes for good radio. Who knows? When I first heard about this topic, I said, wait a minute. We could do better than that for a Saturday special. And Rosie said, no, you don't understand. This is a really hot topic. It's a very hot topic, and a lot of people are very emotional about it. So I said, okay, that's all I needed to hear. So, David, I guess the word debacle in the in the promo sort of caught your attention here.
This really is not a debacle, it's an opportunity. The County of Santa Cruz now faces the chance to purchase the Santa Cruz Rail Corridor, which is a 30-mile park, basically, that runs the length of the county, goes from Davenport to Watsonville, and most county residents have actually been in the rail corridor at one time or another, and know that it's a very valuable county resource. What we're hoping is that the county can first take possession of it. We need to own it. We then need to protect it, and we need to use it. It's a viable transportation alternative and a real resource to county residents.
Well, for sure it doesn't get all that much use these days.
No.
I mean, it's one of my favorite places to walk is along that railroad track, and I certainly don't feel unsafe at many times at all when I'm walking on that. On
no,
that
and
railroad
if, you,
bed,
if you're so. In the corridor pretty much any school day afternoon at 3 o'clock, the corridor is filled with kids walking home from school because it's safe, it's quiet, it's peaceful. It's really a beautiful forested rail corridor.
Okay. And you don't think that, well, won't it be somewhat negatively impacted if your idea to put in a trolley?
Not at all. In fact, the trolley is the key to opening state money, opening a treasure chest of state money that allows us to buy the corridor. Without the trolley, we don't get the corridor.
Okay, well, so
we can go into that in more detail.
I know
Marilyn has some comments on this, but the trolley is absolutely necessary to release Prop 116 funds that allow the county RTC to purchase the corridor.
The RTC is the
Regional Transportation Commission
of the County of Santa Cruz. Okay, that's David Wright. David's a writer who writes corporate copy for Silicon Valley firms and freelance news writing for the Santa Cruz Sentinel and other papers. Dave is also the founder of Santa Cruz County Friends of the Rail Trail. Now, we also have in the studio Marion O'Rourke, a resident of Aptos, representing SCARD. Is this
Scared.
Oh, okay.
Is my microphone turned on?
Oh, yeah. Your mic is definitely on.
Okay.
But
it's
you.
Scared.
Okay.
It's Marilyn O'Rourke.
Marilyn, forgive me. Okay.
That's okay.
What kind of a host doesn't even know the name of the guests in the radio program? Oh, God. Whatever. Well, this is a live radio station where we are very proud of our technical and content mistakes. We have the best in the business here. So you're representing SCARED,
www.scared.org.
Okay. So, okay. You're a former mayor of Benicia. My goodness. Benicia, California,
right near
the Carquinez Bridge and the newest, and very close to the newest bridge spanning a portion of San Francisco Bay.
And we had our own Benicia Bridge spanning.
And what happened? Listen, I know it has nothing to do with this program, but I got to know because I spend a lot of time up there, you know, between here and there. And as I was driving across the Carquinez Strait Bridge, what do you call that bridge that's been
there
for
Carquinez
years?
The Carquinez Bridge and the Benicia Bridge.
Okay.
The Benicia Bridge is the Carquinez old bridge looked like an erector set.
Right.
The Benicia Bridge looks like a bridge, a regular old bridge.
Like a spring.
In fact, they call it a miniature Golden Gate. They call it a miniature Golden Gate. It's got almost the exact same design as Golden Gate Bridge suspension.
So my question, and I'm sure this has been in the news, and I just missed it. But since we're here, and you're here, and you would definitely know the answer to this question. Why was it necessary for them to change the bridge that goes on Highway 80 across to Vallejo?
I hate to disappoint you, but I really don't know. But I would imagine it has to do with traffic on Highway 80, that they needed another span across the strait. Because the more people travel along Highway 80 out of Solano County into San Francisco or San Jose.
Uh-huh.
And so that's probably why.
I understand
that
it just opened this last
week.
And I was almost in the position to be one of the inaugural.
It would have been fun to walk across that new bridge. Yeah. When they put the new span across from Benicia to Martinez,
uh-huh.
It was fun seeing that, you know, because there's now an extra span across that as well, and they're putting in a new bridge there, too. It's all to accommodate more traffic.
Wow. Okay. So now, how did you find your way here to Santa Cruz County?
Well, I was elected mayor for two terms and decided I didn't want to be mayor any longer. And once you've been mayor of a small town, you were always the mayor of a small town.
Oh, so you had to escape.
And so I escaped, and I've been on the witness relocation program until this came up, and I decided that I would again enter the political fray.
Witness relocation program.
Well,
I never told
anybody here that I have been the mayor of Benicia because I didn't want to get involved in politics.
Oh, what a terrible mistake.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Huh?
Not really, because the very fact that you're here in a politically active role of some sort or other sort of tips your hand to everybody.
Yeah, so. It does. I'm afraid it does. It does.
Right. Okay, well, you, I guess, respectfully disagree with David's assertions.
I vehemently disagree, and I think that it's mischaracterizing this issue to call this a trolley, because it's a diesel train, and if you look at the initial study that was done by the Regional Transportation Commission and all the data that comes out of that commission, it refers to it as a diesel train, and it's a 2-to-3-car diesel train. And that conjures up a very different image than if you're talking about a trolley. Everyone loves a trolley. And David has referred to this also as a bus on wheels. It's neither of those. Here's the picture that you can't see on the radio, but you can see.
Well, I will describe
that
it on the radio.
That was done by the Regional Transportation Commission, and they describe it in their initial study as a 2-car self-propelled rail diesel car that will be running on those tracks between Seascape and Capitola 18 times a day. 18 times a day.
Now, wait a minute. Now, what I'm going to show this to our KSCO web camera so everybody in our audience who is connected to the Internet can see.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
There, see it? There. Now, would you agree that is a train, that that's a diesel train, or would you agree that that's a trolley? To me, David, all due respect, it mm-hmm. looks to me like a choo-choo train, like decidedly like a I don't know about diesel. How can you tell whether it's diesel from the appearance of it? But to me, it looks like a New York subway train.
It looks like that. This is an artist's rendering.
So
but
maybe
there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things that we need to talk about.
Is it
here.
A deliberate misleading on the part of the other side?
I think so. First, I think so. First off,
let's
point out. Well, Michael asked me a question. Let me just answer it here.
It's the Regional Transportation Commission, not the other side.
Well, for starters, this whoever made this drawing, and this is on Scard put out some literature here that's got a lot of misinformation on it, and this is produced by them. This particular train that you just showed in your webcam has three cars to begin with, so that's the first obvious fault. The cars that they're imagining have two. And there's another very big issue that we need to talk about here, which is how these cars are actually fueled. The opponents are hell-bent on keeping diesel out of the corridor. The fact is these trains would more than likely be powered by compressed natural gas. Now, compressed natural gas, as you know, is both silent and almost emission-free. So you don't hear it and you don't smell it. And there's
until
a lot of
precedent. Too late.
Well, there's a lot of precedent from compressed natural gas. And in fact, I'd like
natural
to direct natural gas. We're talking about it can be liquid natural gas or compressed natural gas, either one. But I would like to direct folks to a website called santacruztrail.org where there are links to information about natural gas buses and trolleys. And here's the fact. The RTC has not yet chosen a vendor that will put the train on the rail. It will be ultimately the RTC's decision how this thing is fueled, and the type of car has not been determined at all. Now, there is an old study by prepared by Hyde, Miller, Owen, and Trost. That was part of the environmental impact report that does name diesel, but diesel is not in any way confirmed fuel source for the train.
I have never heard of a trolley, which people would agree. I mean, everybody likes a trolley, but not everybody likes a train. Okay, and I've never heard of a trolley that was anything that's diesel fueled stinks, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, right? Would you agree?
Well, let me say this: if the Metro Santa Cruz added an extra bus line to the route near your house, you would never know it. The paper wouldn't cover it, and nobody would be outraged.
It's a non-news item.
It's a non-news item. Putting that same bus on the rail in the corridor should also not have people's hackles up, right? Even if it were diesel. Now, I have a feeling it won't be diesel. But even if it were diesel, having a bus in that corridor is a very small price to pay to give the entire county of Santa Cruz access to a 30-mile-long park that'll give us both bike paths and the opportunity at light rail. To stop that because somebody doesn't want an extra bus on a route is crazy.
Can I respond to that?
Sure. But before you do, I want to take just a little bit of time to explain to our audience, and I don't care which of you do this explanation, exactly what is proposed, because we sort of launched into this without really giving that much of a background, okay?
I'd like to take my turn and do that because he's been speaking, so I think it's kind of my turn now. I'm sitting in front of something called the initial study that's put out by the Regional Transportation Commission, and the Regional Transportation Commission is doing what's called an environmental impact report on not on the 31 miles that David is referring to, but on a 6-mile corridor that is to run from Seascape to Capitola. And in this document that comes from the Regional Transportation Commission, as does that picture, by the way, that was put on the website, but it comes from the Regional Transportation Commission. It says the proposed project would utilize a portion of the Santa Cruz Davenport branch line. And they're going to use a rail vehicle that would be a 2-car self-propelled rail diesel car. What they're talking about doing is running a diesel engine car. 2 cars is what they're talking about here. But there's been some talk of 2 or 3. David insists on talking about natural gas and things that aren't going to bother anybody and aren't going to be any noise or anything, and that he's convinced that's what's going to happen. Why he's convinced of that, I don't know, unless he has private information. I'm only dealing with public information. The public information says that there will be hourly trips between these 2 points, Seascape and Capitola, that'll go from 11 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, 120 days a year. So that's 18 trips for 120 days. That's over 2,000 trips a year.
Can I stop you there? Because the impact report that was prepared by the consultant actually says round trips per year 360.
No,
so
that doesn't make
your numbers
that doesn't
wrong.
Make no, you're wrong, and you keep giving him deep information that's not correct, David.
Well,
you
I'm
did
reading
that at
this directly
no,
from
but you're
the
reading
rail
the
options preliminary analysis done
okay,
by
the consultant.
What's
the date of that?
March 2003. This
okay,
is the most
this
recent
is October
study.
2003. This is the document that we all. There was a scoping session the other night. Last week or something, with the Regional Transportation Commission on the Environmental Impact Report. He can read from something that's old. This is what we're talking
okay,
about.
So the estimates of the numbers of trips have been revised upwards.
Have been revised since, upwards.
Since David's information was published, apparently.
And he knows that.
Well,
and
no, actually,
that.
And that's not true.
That is true, David. This is what you spoke on the other night. You didn't speak on this little study that you have there.
This little study, by the way, is the desk copy that was given out by the RTC at last week's
This is what the EIR is
folks,
on.
Please, listen. It's nice that it's getting a little contentious. I like that. But if it doesn't, but if it gets,
no, but
too, if it gets too contentious, then no one can understand.
Well,
okay,
let's go back to the bigger issue here. If there's a bus running on the rail line, the environmental impact is no more than it would be if you added a bus to Sumner Avenue. Put it this way: a lot of these folks live right next to the rail line. I live next to the rail line myself. I'm a 13-year resident of Aptos, and I live directly adjacent to the rail line. If a bus goes down the street, I don't get up in arms. If a bus goes down the rail line, I should also not get up in arms, in particular because it brings with it so many other benefits. And at some point, I hope we get to talk about the rail trail, which is an opportunity for all of us to commute throughout the county on our bikes. That's really the goal here, is to gain that. And that's what I'd like to get to at some point. We can run through some of these numbers and so forth.
If we haven't gotten to that by the beginning of the second hour, would you remind me?
I would do that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And I think there's other issues besides whether or not you like a diesel bus or not on the tracks, such as the fact that property values invariably increase when these types of public amenities are added to a community.
Does Maryland live on the rail?
I live right on the rail as well. I live on Sumner Avenue, so I back onto the rail. And I resent his continuing to call this a bus when the Regional Transportation Commission calls it a diesel train. So, I mean, I think we should deal with the facts here. If we aren't going to deal with the facts, there's no sense having a debate. I'll give you this initial study if you want to take a look at it and see that it's an official document dated October that is the subject of what's going on now.
Okay.
The past is the past. This is the reality.
I don't understand why we're splitting hairs. It doesn't matter whether it's a bus or a train, I don't think. You obviously feel differently. If it was a bus, which I know it's not, but if it was a bus, would you not be opposed?
If it was a bus on the street, I would not be opposed. If it's a train on the tracks, an additional
train. What's the difference, Marilyn? And
the
why would you be opposed?
The difference is that it's going to be running 18 times a day, over 2,000.
Well, you know, the buses run hourly. I mean, if you Rio Del Mar Boulevard has a bus that runs hourly.
To use an example that you used, David, earlier, if one new bus was added, I don't know how many buses there are right now running, but if one new bus was added, I think you're absolutely right, and I think Marilyn would probably agree that the added impact is imperceptible. But my God, what an incredible impact compared to a very perceptible impact. Compared to the status quo, would be if there was a railroad bed which is only used twice a day. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Three times a week, twice a day on weekdays.
It becomes used that much more frequently. That's a major impact. It's much more than I'm taking sides. I'm just pointing that out to you, and you can't disagree with
major,
that.
No, a major positive impact. We have a serious transportation problem here in the county. We sit in our cars on Highway 1, and we're stuck. We have no alternatives. The opportunity to, at some point in the future, put light rail into that corridor is a tremendous opportunity for Santa Cruz County. Now, Monterey County just acquired their rail corridor in a similar method. Santa Cruz County can do the same thing, and we can take some of the burden off of Highway 1. Now, keep in mind, this is really important if highway widening takes place. If they widen Highway 1, and this is another topic I'm sure you'll have people on the station for.
Yeah,
if they widen Highway 1, they're going to have...
That was our topic last week for this program.
They're going to have to rip down most of the overpasses, which requires... It'll be approximately an 8-year process, and it's going to require a lot of lane closures. Well, that puts everything onto Soquel Boulevard, which, as you know, is already jammed. We need a release valve in the case that highway widening is approved. And the rail corridor is it. 98% of the people in this county would use it. Actually, let me give you a better statistic. Over 80% of us live 1 mile from the corridor. So getting to a light rail train or getting your bike into the rail corridor to ride from Santa Cruz to Live Oak or Live Oak to Capitola, wherever it might be, would be feasible for almost everybody that lives in the county.
Can I comment?
Sure.
That's absurd.
Marilyn, now you be nice.
I'll be nice, but it's absurd. We're here to, I mean, I want to know what we're here to talk about. Are we here to talk about light rail, which is not the subject of the EIR? Are we here to talk about Highway 1, which is not the subject of the EIR? Why are we here? We're here to talk. I thought we were here to talk about this project that is proposed by the Regional Transportation Commission. And
my ears and brain tell me that that's exactly what we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes.
If we want to talk about alternatives to Highway 1, this isn't it. This train will run.
Marilyn, I agree with you. The trolley itself is not.
Let me talk.
Well, I'm actually agreeing with you on that.
No,
the trolley by itself is not an alternative to Highway 1. I agree with you on that 100%. The
trolley, I think we have to give each other a turn to talk, and it's my turn.
I think that's true. Both of you have been interrupting, so let's make a pact. If Marilyn agrees not to interrupt you, will you interrupt Marilyn?
Promise.
That's true. He's done that. He's proven that.
That he will interrupt you, yes. even if you promise not to interrupt
yes.
him.
Well,
I haven't heard that from you yet. Have you?
Can I interrupt when I'm agreeing with her?
No,
because I agree that the trolley is not a transportation.
It knocks a person off track. No pun intended.
The trolley is a tourist implementation. It has nothing to do with commuters.
We're being railroaded. No pun intended.
Okay, now so wait a second. So let's that's a good honest statement that came out of your mouth. Would you agree, Marilyn, that this has nothing to do with commute? He says it's for tourists.
It's not a trolley. It's a train, and the diesel train is only for tourists, and it does not have anything to do with Highway 1. So why we're bringing up Highway 1, I don't know. It's not an alternative. It's only going to run from Seascape to Capitola. What are people going to do from there? And if they're going to
we're not so much arguing about the it's going to be very costly, I think, anyhow, no matter to implement this, right?
I would think it would be very costly, but the other point is, if you want to talk about running a train on that track, which is actually going to be an alternative to Highway 1, then you have to be doing a different environmental impact report than what you're doing here. There's something when you do environmental impact reports that you can't segment the project. And here, the Regional Transportation Commission is talking only about a project that goes from Seascape to Capitola. I'm willing to talk about a train that goes from Watsonville to Davenport, but that's not what the environmental impact report's about.
A cowardly caller has called.
Okay.
And the reason I say it's a cowardly caller is because they didn't want to go on the air. That's what this radio program is about. Normally, we don't even dignify cowardly callers or cowardly faxers who don't identify who they are. But this is worth reading. I don't know who took this call, whether Carol or Noah. Noah did, okay. A caller says a few thousand cars less on the roadways would be a blessing. She moved away from Benicia to get away from the gang war. If she doesn't want this in her backyard, let her move back.
I thought you didn't read. I never answer unattributed letters, unattributed phone calls, any of that. But if you want to ask me that question, I'll answer it.
I've asked you.
Okay. First of all, this train, it was estimated by some major transportation study here that running a train along the tracks would take 63 cars off the highway. Now, you can see what you think of that. I mean, that's not going to help the highway. And I don't know what gang war, I'd like to know what gang war they're talking
about.
Well,
I wish the cowardly caller would call in.
Because Benicia is
479-1080.
Okay, I'd like to talk to the cowardly caller because Benicia is a wonderful community. There's no gang war in Benicia. And I moved away from Benicia not to be involved in politics, but here I am again. So what can I tell you?
Well, now that you're here, we're happy that you're here, Marilyn.
Thank you, David.
But now that you're here, don't slam the door behind you and practice what's called NIMBY politics, not in my backyard. The vast majority of people in the county will benefit by having this rail. Can we talk about the trolley itself?
Wait a minute. Noah just knocked on the window. Does this mean that the cowardly caller is on line four? Noah. No, I didn't know what that meant. Four. Is that the cowardly caller? He says yes. Okay. Line caller.
This is the great Ben of Salinas, and I ain't no damn coward. It's just that I hear them bickering and bickering to split little hairs. I know the Vallejo Benicia area. It is gang-ridden. It's not safe. It's across from Martinez where you got more gangs and killing. The lady's here for the same reason I used to live in Santa Cruz. That rail corridor is beautiful. And
wait,
you could
did
have,
you say you used to live in Santa Cruz?
Me?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, I lived there from 69 to 84,
okay, now,
sir.
Now, why did you move away? Because of the gangs
because
here?
I moved away from there because I could no longer afford the rent, sir.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
A musician.
Michael, he seems to have an opinion about the rail corridor. We should let him talk about the corridor.
But I'm a musician. But when you multiply the number of trips and the number of seats on those cars, you know, if you don't like the noise, hey, the noise comes with progress. That's a beautiful corridor. I enjoy walking it. Yes. You can have stop-off stations every mile or two and have access to the beaches and the businesses. And if you multiply the trips by the number of days, there's 2,000 or 3,000 less cars a month that have to be on the damn roads.
Okay, Ben, I'm sorry.
And
I didn't
no
realize. Had I known that it was you who was the caller, I would never have carried.
Well,
you are anything but cowardly.
Well, I hear this. I hear them bickering over with diesel or a trolley car. Put a damn horse-driven carriage on it. People will love it. You'll enhance property values. Just because the lady don't like diesels, hey, go back to Benicia. That's the noisiest part of the damn world. I've been in that area. I graduated in Pittsburgh.
Ben, what you don't know since you're not in the studio is Marilyn actually nodded her head within the last 30 seconds. She apparently likes the idea of the horse-drawn carriage.
Well,
horse-drawn carriage would be wonderful. Let's do that one.
What do you think?
Well, I don't have an opinion about a horse-drawn carriage, but maybe I can give your listeners just a quick rundown of what the RTC
is. Thank you, Ben.
Okay,
appreciate
your
call.
All right.
Of what the RTC is proposing in terms of actual trolley stops, because the stops are kind of a big deal. They're talking about six stops that, beginning in Capitola Village, would begin at Cliff Drive, go to the Capitola. There'd be a stop at the Capitola Village stop, one at New Brighton State Beach, another at Seacliff Beach, so we're going south now, right? Another one in Aptos Village by the Bayview Hotel, and then the final one, possibly, and this is a contingent stretch, would be at Seascape. Now, you should know, of course, that Seascape, Capitola Chamber of Commerce, Aptos Chamber of Commerce, Capitola City Council all support this proposal, and they are aware of these stops, and they know the value that these things bring to the community. So when we talk specifically about the trolley, a lot of folks really like this idea. I will address Marilyn's comment. This thing, the trolley itself has nothing to do with commute options. The trolley is a wedge that puts something on the trail and allows us to access the state money so that we can buy this entire 31-mile
corridor.
So
it's not that important to you that it be a diesel or what the choo-choo cars look like?
I would prefer to have clean-burning, silent buses. But if it's a diesel bus, I'm not going to get freaked out about it because I'm surrounded by them as it is.
Well, you know, David is sounding very reasonable here, Marilyn, Okay, now I would just hand this just in, ladies and gentlemen, to the KSCO studio.
Can I answer him?
Yeah, I do want to read, because you're going to be very interested because
okay.
It viciously attacks you again.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's not fair to say that and then turn the microphone back to me, but I will answer.
She moved next to the airport and wants to stop the planes. Go back to Benicia and run for mayor again. We need the public transportation. And that's from Dennis from Beer is Good.
Okay, from Beer is Good.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's a really good resource. First of all, I'm going to make a comment about Benicia, then I'll get back on the train issue again. Benicia is a wonderful community. It is not a crime-ridden community. It is an historic community.
And like Martinez, there's a lot of those little towns up there are neat little
places.
It's
a wonderful part of the world, and I think that for someone to malign that community because they don't like what I'm saying, I think is unfortunate. I've lived there for 18 years, so I have a lot of affection for that community. So we'll leave that. I think the other issue that is important here is, and that you brought up actually, is how this is going to be funded. Because from what I understand, there are two funding sources. One is Prop 116, which was interestingly called the Clean Air Act, and the other is something called STIP funds. And it's my understanding that the STIP funds have not been funded yet, that they are state funds, and there's not money in that account right now. So the question is, the Prop 116 funds are apparently available, but they have to be matched. And the county, the Regional Transportation Commission talks about matching them with STIP funds, and my understanding is that the STIP funds account is not funded, so that those monies are not available yet. And so there's a question of how you would even fund this whole thing. The other part of the funding issue is that once the county decides to purchase this rail line, because they're talking about this is not part of the EIR, they want to purchase 31.8 miles of the line, but they have talked nothing about to the taxpayers of this county as to how they would maintain those lines and how they would maintain that 31.8 miles and what they would do about what is called the historic trestles.
This wouldn't be a free trolley, would it? I mean, people would pay.
No, they would pay it. A visitor to the county would pay $9 is what they're thinking would be the amount that you'd pay to get on this thing and ride.
Holy
it would
Christmas,
be operated.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. You and I aren't going to ride this thing. It's really not designed for locals. It's for visitors. It would be run by an independent operator. The county would not operate this. They would contract out to one of the train.
David, do you really think there are enough visitors who want to go between Seascape and Capitola and back?
Have you ever been in Capitola Village in the summertime? It's
yes,
packed
all the time.
I
used to live there.
Here is a trolley that leaves from Depot Hill there, takes you into Aptos. It's incredibly scenic views. Goes New Brighton Beach. I mean, it is an opportunity to see the Monterey Bay for $9. And so will tourists do it? I think they will. But really, that's the issue for the independent operator to evaluate when they take the contract to put the rail. Now, put it this way. The Roaring Camp is very interested in the contract, and they're at virtually every meeting saying that. And there's another independent operator up in San Mateo that also is very interested in putting money into this deal so they can put rail on the track. So, yeah, independent operators are interested in it, and I have a feeling that they would succeed.
May I comment?
Yeah, but we do want to go to the phone lines because this is an audience participation show, and I've invited callers. We have Sylvia and Lupe and Mark already waiting, and we have open lines at 477-1340 if you want to call us. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Excuse me. Any version of it I'll answer to since I'm the only woman here.
All right.
It would take, they're estimating that they're going to have something like 25,000 people ride this train, and it would take that to break to be able to finance it by some private operator.
25,000 people annually.
Yeah, to ride that train from one end to the other, and but that doesn't take care of liability insurance. What I wanted to talk about also when I mentioned buying that whole rail line is that you're buying a pig in a poke because they don't know what they talk about hazardous materials potentially being deposited along the line. They don't know what
Holy
those are.
Well,
this is a hype. You're about to hear about creosote, which is
wasn't going to talk about creosote.
This nasty carcinogenic wood preservative.
I thought he wasn't going to interrupt me.
That's in the railroad title.
I thought that was the deal.
Michael just looked at me and asked me to comment on this.
Okay.
It's a nasty chemical that's in the railroad ties and the wood in the trestles. Right? They started using it a long time ago.
It's made me concerned about walking because it was freshly creosoted not long ago.
Right.
And I have heard, I don't know, but my nose tells me that creosote might be carcinogenous.
There is reason to believe that it could be. I'm not a scientist, but what I read is creosote's something you want to stay away from, right? The thing it's already there.
Even Maryland.
There's no scenario where the tracks are being pulled out, and we obviously don't want to lose the trestles. So creosote's there and really has nothing to do with this argument because it's not
going
away.
Yes, it does. Could I say something?
Yes.
Once you buy something, it's like a piece of property, even as a private person. Once you buy the property, you own it. You own the ground. You own anything that's on the ground.
You own the liability, right?
You own the liability. So the city, this county, is apparently considering buying a potential liability without a complete study as to what it does, as to what the toxic and hazardous materials might be. Just a minute, David, I'm going to finish, and then you can have your turn. Secondly, the trestles. No one knows exactly what condition the trestles are in. David calls them historic. The proponents call them historic. Historic means old. And I would like to know where the study is that shows what the condition of the trestles
are. Not only are they, well, I'll just tell you right now, I've done my own personal Michael Swirling study of the trestle that goes at La Selva Beach. And every time I hike that, which is at least once a week or so, I notice, I'm incredulous that a choo-choo train even goes across that, because it's just, it's held together by shreds of rust.
They're obviously viable. But otherwise, that Union particular
vessel is probably outside of the of what we're talking about, I think.
I hope we can go back to these budget
issues. Because
these
trains are going to go across the trestles.
Well, this is La Selva Beach already.
But there's trestles along. There's one right near me, you know, right near Hidden Beach.
The one at Capitola, or that spans the river at Capitola, isn't in all that bad a condition. But the one that spans the La Selva Beach area, you know, right where the La Selva Beach Village is, I think is gonna break and come crashing down any minute now.
Can I address Marilyn's overall statement that this is a liability issue? I'm gonna read to you something that's published by the National Park Service. It's only three lines, and the quote is this: virtually all rail trail managers dismiss liability as a problem. Liability is not an issue on rail trails. And here's the deal. At last Thursday's meeting, this woman got up and said, I would never let my child ride their bike in that rail corridor if there were a train there, because I don't want them falling into the track and getting run over. Right? This is the kind of hysteria that we're dealing with. Fact is, the trail and the train would be divided by a fence, and liability is not an issue because people will not be on the tracks. Trains will be on the tracks. People will be on a path. So this creosote argument really is irrelevant. The tracks aren't being pulled out, and people aren't going to be in contact with it anyway.
David, you raised the creosote issue, and I welcome that. And Michael agrees with you that the creosote is an issue, and it has been proven to cause cancer, which might be interesting to the two of you because it causes apparently cancer of the scrotum. Which wouldn't.
Well, I'll keep my scrotum off the trail, off the rail then.
Well, I would hope that you would do that.
It just doesn't seem.
How can you have
some
way to disconnect or something? You have some way to uncouple your scrotum?
That's a really flip comment for something that's potentially really serious.
Well, those tracks have been there for 100 years. I mean, are you suggesting we rip the tracks out? Do you think the trestle should be ripped out?
I'm suggesting that the county should be, as a former public official who has been responsible for city budgets and taxpayers' money, mm-hmm. I'm saying that the county should be incredibly cautious and do every study necessary before they buy something that they haven't totally examined and found out whether there are, in fact, toxic and hazardous chemicals or waste or materials deposited or involved there.
What she says is very, very reasonable.
Sure it is, which is why the RTC is doing an environmental impact report right now. We are in the middle of an environmental impact report. Yes, it has to be studied.
Maybe this program is a little premature.
Maybe it is. This program? Or maybe we'll do it again afterwards.
Yeah, maybe this particular Saturday special.
Well, no, it's not actually.
Noah is very upset. He says it's way past the time that we're supposed to do the commercials. And that because we have sponsors who need to be acknowledged. And so you're listening to the Saturday special with special guests David Wright and Marilyn O'Rourke. She's sweet. I know I was beginning to worry that she didn't that she was a humorless ex-public official, but I know that she's got a sense of humor because I can actually hear her chuckling, can't you? It's a quarter before 11. It's hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. Noah, take it away with our commercial break. Back on the other side. Stay with us.
With a circus mind, that's funny.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.
I'm way too busy to get a line of credit right now, so I'm letting LendingTree get one for me. Well, actually, they're getting me four. See, I fill out one simple form and get four offers back within hours. I will eventually have to take a minute to choose one, but that's the fun part anyway.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at LendingTree.com.
We share the same hopes, the same dreams. We face the same challenges. That's why when it comes to helping you protect all you work for, nobody does it better than your neighborhood State Farm agent.
Like like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
Hi, this is John Martinelli, fourth generation manager of S. Martinelli & Company. We hope you'll enjoy our sparkling cider at your holiday celebrations and have a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Rosie, Cyril's program will now be on Sunday at 11 a.m.
Embassy of the New World Order is about foreign affairs, diplomacy, history, philosophy, but most importantly, it is about callers. All opinions are accepted here. All can agree to disagree.
Oh, bloody rubbish.
Except when some nincompoop comes up with a ridiculously asinine gobbledygook.
He is the most opinionated Russian I know.
Rosie, he's the only Russian you know.
See, he's making you argue, too.
Listen to the one and only Foreign Affairs program, The Embassy of the New World Order with Cyril Vitomsky, every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
This is Bill O'Reilly. No spin, no double talk, no nonsense. To find out what is really happening, join me on my new program, The Radio Factor, right here. We will go beyond the headlines to get to the bottom of the story. And we'll pick up where my TV show left off, giving you a chance to comment as well. It's the new show everybody is talking about. Find out why right here as we launch a new era in broadcasting, The Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly.
Listen in every weekday morning from 9 to 11 for Bill O'Reilly on AM 1080 KSCO.
KOMY, AM 1340 KSCO, AM 1080. www.kseo.com.
And it is 11 before 11, hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. We're talking about the trolley. Is it a folly or should it happen? Okay, the trolley proposed between Capitola and Seascape area, using the existing railroad bed, which would have to be acquired from, is it Union Pacific? Yeah. And we have a guest in the studio, Marilyn O'Rourke. I finally got it right. And David Wright, which I also got right. Yeah, that's not bad. It's not hard to get your name right, huh? Because that's what it is. Anyhow, you the callers here, 479-1080, 477-1340. We are going to pick up the pace, and to those poor souls like Sylvia in Aptos and Lupe in Aptos, who have been waiting for a long time, we're finally going to get to you, and thank you for waiting. Sylvia, you're on the air on KSCO.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to talk about fraud, naivete, contamination, and business. Regarding fraud, isn't it fraud for the Transportation Commission to use the creation of a trolley in order to get funding to purchase the rail corridor? Second, naivete. I think the bike and rail trail persons are well-meaning, but I don't think that they realize the motivations of people who want to buy the corridor. They said themselves, I think Mr. Wright said at a meeting recently, that only 60% of the corridor is wide enough for any kind of trail along with the freight service. I think it's intercity passenger service that the Transportation Commission is after. Number three, contamination. Throughout the country, the historic rail corridors like ours are found to be contaminated with all the kinds of things that have been spilled on the corridors over decades. Rail cars always carry things that we can't put on the streets because of their they carry chemicals, they carry things that have spilled. The metal on metal causes arsenic in the soils. And then fourth, the business part of it. Our own Santa Cruz County Business Council does not approve of this project. They have said that the county should be continuing its highest, what they found is its highest priority is to go ahead with widening Highway 1. And they feel that it is a failure of the Transportation Commission to go ahead with this kind of project.
Especially when there are more important, or should be viewed as more important, issues at hand, like the widening of Highway 1. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, like the widening of Highway 1. And in fact, you could take what Mr. Wright calls a trolley or a bus. You could just take that and put that on Highway 1 in the Diamond Lane that's planned for that, from Aptos down to Capitola. And also, these 25,000 visitors, they're going to bring cars in. Are they going to leave them in Aptos and along the way in order to get to Capitola? Where are they going to park all these cars for people who are going to get on the trolley? Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Dave, I got a question for you, okay? Where do you put this as in your list of priorities above the widening of Highway 1?
It's neither above, below, or in between. It's a separate project that needs to be funded whether or not the highway widening takes place. Highway widening is a big issue, as you know. I'll tell you this about highway widening in general. Traffic is like water. It flows to the point of least resistance. If you widen the lanes here in Santa Cruz County, those folks who are taking 68 up to 101 and going north that direction will begin to migrate this direction, and they'll fill those lanes. So to say that Highway 1 widening is the solution to our transportation problem is probably not right. Now, I'm not necessarily opposed to widening the highway. It could have some limited effects. But most experts don't think that that widening the highway by itself is enough. So here we've got this rail corridor to give us a release valve and some other transportation alternatives. You know, one other thing, Mike, if I could just address something else that she said there. The ownership of this corridor should be owned by Santa Cruz County. Right now it's owned by Union Pacific. We have no input onto what they put on the tracks, how frequently they run them, and they can put the Starlight passenger rail on there tomorrow if they want to, and we'll have no say about it. If the county of Santa Cruz owns the corridor, we have control over our transportation future. And we have a voice into what actually gets put into the corridor. We can own it and we can protect it.
So, isn't a railway line a public utility? And aren't public utilities regulated by public utilities commissions?
Of course,
if not the county of Santa Cruz.
In fact, you can't put a grade crossing anywhere without getting it approved by the PUC.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you just said a minute ago. I mean, you might not have to get an approval from the county or the zoning department or something to put a rail service, to put passenger service on. But wouldn't you have to get something from the state PUC?
The EIR that is being done right now isn't even required. The RRTC is doing this EIR because they want to give the public a voice.
That's
and they want
true.
The information, but it's
okay.
not required.
Marilyn says that's not true, but would you mind if we get back to the phone lines here?
Because can I just comment on one thing he said?
Sure.
The EIR is required by the policy of the county, by the Regional Transportation Commission, their own. And David knows this. I mean, this is just another straw argument. The 2001 Santa Cruz county regional transportation policy requires an EIR for this project. It says it right in their document.
Okay, again, we're splitting hairs.
No, we're not, because he's not telling the truth.
Okay, so that's all you need to say. That's
okay.
All you need to say, and you said it.
Okay, thank you.
Next caller is Lupe in Aptos, California. Lupe, welcome to KSCO on the Saturday special. Hello? Hello, Lupe.
Hi.
Oh, okay, I can hear you now. Yeah, go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, great. So I just have a concern in regards to how everything is being presented to the citizens that are affected here in Aptos. If we want this to be an alternative commute opportunity, let's call it that. Why do we have to call it the recreational railroad?
Well, that's what David is calling it, and but recreational rail operation.
Right. Oh. I mean, we're saying we want to acquire this this railroad so that we have the opportunity for light rail commute later. I mean, I kind of get a feeling that the real intention is for that end and not necessarily for the recreational railroad that is being proposed.
I gotcha. So,
yeah.
So you think it might be a bait and switch type thing?
Yeah. So why are they stating one thing and actually perhaps have a longer?
Do you have an ulterior motive,
yeah.
David?
Is
do
there?
You and your group?
Well, I mean,
you got to walk
think.
Before you run. To propose light rail for the entire length of the corridor.
Put that
would
down
be,
as a yes.
my primary objective is the trail. Our group, Friends of the Rail Trail, which you can look at SantaCruzTrail.org, is focused specifically on getting trails in that corridor so that seniors, children, others can ride their bikes the length of the county. The trolley is a small step that impacts very few homeowners, if at all, but releases the amount of money necessary for us to buy the entire corridor.
Can I say
something? So, yes, I think you need to walk before you run and get a limited-use rail on those tracks before you go to something larger.
Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
The fact is that there are studies which David is familiar with and you may have seen that say that if they are going to run this trolley that he calls a trolley that is in fact a diesel train from Seascape to Capitola, 90% of the trail that he wants to have happen adjacent to the train can't happen because there's not enough room. Mm-hmm. Only 10% of that could have a trail next to it. If they run the train from Watsonville to Davenport, only 60% of that is available for a trail. If David wants to come out of the closet here and talk about just doing it, that what he really wants is a trail, then let's do rails to trails. Let's buy the line. Let's convert the whole thing to a trail, and we'll all agree. Let's just buy the whole thing. Let's make sure that it's all clean, and let's have a trail.
Let's go to Margaret in Live Oak. Margaret, you're on the air. I know Margaret left. Isn't that a shame? Just when we were going to put Margaret on the air, she decided to leave. Let's go to Val in SoCal. Val, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday special.
Michael, I'm so happy that you know. I remember up in Escalona. Michael goes, darn it, you know. He goes, I'm trying to sell this house. These guys are building the houses next to me, and he takes me down his downstairs. He has a huge studio. But look at how Mike's doing now.
What am I doing now?
You done it. You did it.
Did what?
God darn it. I'm happy to talk to you.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you too. But Val,
all right,
thank you. But what's the point here?
All right, the point here.
You get on the subject?
Here's the point. You know I think fast. All right. What we do is we put a leverage type of a bridge on one way after the fish hook all the way down past Watsonville and one way back. So those that want to go there, they go. In other words,
okay, now wait a second here. I hate to do this, Val. This is very entertaining, and I'm not sure where you're going on this, but It is coming up on 11 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO and KOMY, Watsonville. Here's the news. We're going to be back in 7 minutes.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Kurt Lewis.
Less music, more talk.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Good morning. You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. It is 5 minutes past 11 o'clock on this Saturday, November 15th, 2003, and I'm Gray Davis with your Central Coast weather forecast. Today, occasional rain near Monterey Bay and the northern Salinas Valley. Rain is likely elsewhere. Highs in the lower 60s with westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. This evening, rain is likely near Monterey Bay and the northern Salinas Valley with a chance of rain elsewhere. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today. There is a small craft advisory for hazardous seas. Northwesterly winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming southwesterly in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a northwesterly swell 5 to 10 feet at 11 seconds, highest in the outer bay, and a chance of some showers. It is currently 53 degrees here at the station in Santa Cruz. We now return to hour number 2 of the Saturday special. Stay tuned.
How is it I'm not surprised that you ended up here, Gray? How is it?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
So what do you think? Is the trolley idea between Capitola and Seascape... irresponsible? Is it reprehensible? Or is it good? What do you think?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, and they're already arguing in the studio here about whether it should be called a trolley or a diesel train. And I've been calling it a trolley, and Marilyn has corrected me. She said it is not a trolley, it is a diesel train. And David says, no, it is not a diesel, it is not a diesel train, it is a trolley. And Search is a candy mint. No, Search is a breath mint. Stop, you're both right. All right, how do you want to weigh in on this, gang? 479-1080 or 477-1340. Either of those numbers will connect you to the KSCO studios here. The Saturday special with MZ, David Wright, and Marilyn O'Rourke. We're talking about the prospect of a trolley or a diesel train, whatever you want to call it, between Aptos and the Capitola. What do you think? What do you think? We have open lines at 477-1340. If you want to send us a fax, you can fax us to 475-2967. And mz@ksco.com is my email if you want to send an email. I think I can bring that up here. Michael, yeah, what is it, Dave?
Can I address the issue that one of your callers brought up in the last hour about the width of the trail? I've heard opponents of this say a few times that the corridor is not wide enough to have rail and trail.
It's been said many times.
Yeah, and that's myth. And I'll tell you, our organization has civil engineers and university professors that have pulled all the parcel maps for the entire county and done an analysis of these things. There are some places where the corridor is less than 20 feet wide, but the vast majority, and in those cases there will be some engineering required probably in order to create more space for
like
the track.
A subway tunnel to be dug or something.
No. What it is the sides of the embankments come down very steep, which leaves the existing width fairly narrow in some places, but those embankments can in most cases be cut out. Engineering can be done to support other areas. If you go up into the Seascape area, for example, that width there is about 30 feet wide, and that seems to be standard. If you go up by Wilder, you get quite a bit wider than that, 50 to 60 feet. Most of the corridor is wide enough. Other areas will require some engineering. We don't expect this is without costs. There are costs involved in building this trail, but to say that it's not wide enough is simply wrong. The engineering is definitely feasible and has been done. By the way, I should point out, this has been done in over 1,000 places in the United States. I have a list here of rails with trails just here in California, Ventura County, Orange County, and on and on. To say that it can't be done is just it's hype.
May I comment? Anything can be done if you have enough money and if you're willing to exercise eminent domain on people. And if you... No, it's not. It's a fact.
It's not
I
a
mean,
fact.
It is a fact that there could
so there
be, eminent,
be no
domain.
Eminent domain required
what source
to do this deal.
There will be no eminent domain required if the corridor, for whatever reason, were absolutely too narrow and couldn't be engineered. The bike trail would go off onto an existing city street and then re-enter the corridor when appropriate. Eminent domain has nothing to do
I'm
with
I'm
going to
interrupt you, David, because you interrupted me when I was trying to make a point in response to the point that I let you make. 90% of the trail cannot be next to the tracks according to county documents.
Which county documents?
The major transportation impact study.
I'd like to see that because
that's you have
not
it.
Accurate.
So just look at it and see. It
okay,
says
now
that
we're
going
to go back to the telephone lines. Line 3, Mark in Watsonville. You're on, Mark. You're on. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. I have three issues here. Right now, the rail line is owned by a private company, Union Pacific. And I'd like the guest to comment on the loss to county tax rolls when this property is removed from the private ownership and given to public ownership, being the county. So that property owner will no longer be contributing to the tax base of Santa Cruz County. We just did this with the Coast Dairies purchase, and it was a total disaster. So I would kind of lean against this just on the cost basis. The second issue is what happens to the existing trains that go to the Davenport Lone Star Cement Plant. They haul coal to the plant and haul finished cement powder back. Will all that material, the coal to the plant and the powder back, go onto trucks that go onto Highway 1 and then onto Mission Street to get to the plant? And the third issue is that this is a freight line, and freight lines and passenger lines, due to engineering, are not compatible. On the freight line, the curves are, there's no banking on the upper end of the curve radius because the trains are so heavy, they go slow, and they want no banking because they would fall off the track. Passenger service is just the opposite. If you want to go over 10 miles an hour, you have to have a degree of banking on the curves or they will fall off the track. They will go straight. So currently, as the track is set up, it's set up for slow, heavy freight. It's not set up for passenger service. So train track would have to be re-engineered, especially in the curves, let alone the trestles you were talking about earlier. But I think there's three issues there that need to be discussed. Is one?
Okay, but we're not going to discuss those on this program because if we do, we won't get to any of the other callers.
But
thank
will,
you.
For we will. Lo- we up. Will lose the tax base. We will lose the freight service to Lone Star, and the train track is
Davidson,
not engineered right now for
emphatically
for
no.
You would not. You would not lose freight service from Lone Star. Lone Star, in fact, is adamant that they maintain the ability to ship their product on the rail corridor. Union Pacific, in negotiating with the RTC, these negotiations are going on right now, by the way. RTC is negotiating with Union Pacific to buy the corridor. Union Pacific will have a clause that says we can still run freight trains on the line. So the county will own the rail, but they'll receive revenue from Union Pacific for the runs that they make. None of that will be diverted off into city streets. The folks that live on the tracks now will still have freight trains coming by their house the same way that they do under Union Pacific ownership.
How about the tax loss of Union Pacific to the county?
Tax loss from Union Pacific? I'm not that worried about Union Pacific. They've been selling off rail across the country, and apparently they're less interested in running trains and more interested in generating revenue from selling property.
Can I make a comment? Thank you. I'd like to encourage the caller to submit your comments to the Regional Transportation Commission, which is now looking at, which is now conducting an EIR, and you have until, what's today, the 19th to submit those comments.
Is Linda Wilshusen still the head of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think those are really excellent, excellent questions that you asked. Thank you for asking them.
Okay.
I wanted to make one comment to what the caller said, and that is that the freight lines will continue to run, which means that if, in fact, this goes through and they're running a recreational diesel train on these tracks for 18 times a day, for 9 hours a day, then the freight trains are going to be running other than that. So that means that those freight trains will be running at night instead of during the day as they do now. Or the recreational trains will have to wait
It'll
while the freight trains...
coordinated.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the phone lines here on the KSCO Saturday Special at 11:15. Margaret from Live Oak, I believe, did call back. You're on the air, Margaret.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
I don't really see the attraction factor nor the practicality factors in this thing, because number one, people are going to have to park somewhere to actually access this trolley, and parking is not free. And then from parking, they will have to safely and comfortably walk on hopefully sidewalks, if you can find them, that have clean restrooms, litter cans, and cigarette ashtrays along the walkways. Then you've got the packed stuff. You know, your beach gear, your clothing, your food, beverages, your kitty cars, whatever you got. You're hauling all your stuff, so you actually kind of need like a wheelbarrow pull cart thing. And then when you're out shopping, where do the people store all their stuff, their beach stuff, their purchases? You know, are we going to have lockers for them? What? So then you've got the trolleys, and can they carry beach gear and bicycles and kitty cars or whatever the kitties need?
I think
and
you're fast becoming Marilyn's favorite caller to this program,
okay.
Margaret.
Then, as far, okay, so then before, I believe, I'm kind of neutral on this subject, but really, for this point,
I don't think you're neutral at
well,
all.
I'm just trying to see the actual, you know, movement of this issue,
would
and
you
it
say
just
something
sounds
to
so
support
foggy.
David, would you say anything to support David's side, Ms. Neutral?
Oh yeah, it's airy fairy fun. You know, there you go. Okay, the trolleys are airy.
David wants to ask you a question.
The trolleys are airy fairy fun. But they can't really carry beach gear and bikes and purchases and my gosh, please.
Well, maybe a diesel train could.
But I'd like to just finish here. The main thing here, I believe, is before we spend money to transport tourists, can't we spend first, you know, to enrich the lives of our locals who live here by adding walking sidewalks throughout the county? Because once you have sidewalks in place, then people can get healthier.
Okay, Dave, go.
Have you ever been in the rail corridor here in Santa Cruz at any point?
No. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I would encourage it. Right now it belongs to Union Pacific, so I can't encourage you to go walk in it because, frankly, it's private property.
I'll encourage her.
So if you can encourage her. It is a beautiful place. It is peaceful, serene, and it's flat. For seniors who want to get around town on a bicycle or even in a wheelchair if they wanted to, here is your option. You're simply not going to do that type of thing on city streets. Now, the way for us to get
that... No, we don't even have sidewalks on city
streets.
The
way for us to get that is by putting a trolley on the tracks.
That is the only
way for the county to gain possession of the corridor.
I
know the trolley by
so
itself probably sounds
walk.
Like a tourist frivolity, but the fact is it's a very, very important step in terms of the county being able to gain possession.
Senior citizens would like to walk to the grocery store and the Capitola Mall and around town, get some exercise. There are no sidewalks in this town. Let's first work on putting sidewalks in Santa Cruz and then, you know, think about taking our grandparents, parking, which costs money, hauling all the stuff. Then do you have clean bathrooms for them? Do you have litter garbage for them?
We're sort of repeating ourselves. Thank you, Margaret, for calling a Saturday special. Now let's go to Sue in Capitola. You're on the air, Sue. Go.
Hi. Yes, hey. Thank you. A very interesting conversation this morning. Thanks to everyone who's participated.
Very articulate people.
Yes. I wanted to clear up just a couple things right off the bat before I make my comment. One is that Union Pacific is actually selling off inactive branch lines that they do not have an active interest in. So our situation is a little bit different. Secondly, the train that will or would be run really has to be diesel. Any other type would not pass crash tests. I mean, think about that. We're running a freight train as well as a passenger train on the same rail line. This is a federal regulation. So the people that I think that are misguided and thinking that, oh, well, you know, we could have an electric train, we could have a cute little trolley, we could have a solar train. It's just, it's not going to happen with the freight service. And the freight service will continue to be there. Otherwise, we'll have to put all of that concrete and gravel on the highway, which, you know, is something that nobody wants. So I wanted to clear up those two things. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about that.
Okay, thanks for calling the Saturday special.
Can I say one more thing?
Okay.
The other issue that I wanted to address was in regards to the rail trails, and I'm concerned that there may be some misinformation about that as well. All of the rail trails that I have seen, researched, the thousands that are in a rail trail book, these are in very rural areas, often bordered by forests on one side, you know, little country two-lane highway on the other. I haven't seen one that would be an apples-to-apples comparison with our situation. A lot of these rail trails on websites, in books, are actually abandoned rail corridors where there is not an active train running, and they are called historic rail trails. They are multi-purpose trails where people can go horseback riding, biking, walking, hiking, I mean, multiple rollerblading, because there is no train that comes by. So, again, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay, thank you for making all your points. Now let's go to Rod in Santa Cruz. I want to take this in order here. Rod, I've been waiting. You're now on the air on KSCO.
Thanks. Great discussion. I just wrote down 4 points here. And one is that I can tell from this conversation is that there's no commuter value. I think there's an idea of, among some of the callers, that there's a commuter value here, and doesn't seem to be. Another one, I would think that it would have more tourist value if the thing ran from the boardwalk, started at the boardwalk to the Capitola Village. I mean, there's all kinds of tourists on the weekends in the summer at the boardwalk that you could take down there. That would have more value if you're actually thinking about doing this. Three, diesel is sickening, so I don't need to say any more about that. But the I think the best idea that I've heard is to just take the thing out and make it a trail and a biking thing. I know a lot of people ride their bikes the length of Highway 1, and when they get to that four-lane highway, you know, when it becomes a freeway, I don't know what the heck people do, but I could see an alternative there for them to take that corridor and hook them back up to Highway 1 after they get off of San Andreas. But that's my input into this. Thanks.
Rod, thank you for your input on calling the Saturday special here on AM 1080 KSCO, where it is 23 minutes past 11 a.m. We're in hour number two. Marilyn O'Rourke and David Wright are our guests, talking about the proposed trolley for tourists between Aptos and Capitola. And what do you think about that idea? 479-1080, 477-1340. Our fax number, 475-2967. I think we only have one fax here. We might have another fax. Here is an email. Mr. Z, I would like to ask the proponent of the purchase to address the liability to the County of Santa Cruz, i.e. underground utilities running the right-of-way, and that's from phil@gott.net. What do you think?
Yeah, well, in general, bike paths are safer than city streets. If you're going to get on your bike and have a choice of where to ride it, you would probably rather ride on a bike path. So to say that somehow the rail trail is a liability issue is really a non-starter, and that's common sense. I think I quoted in the first hour a study done by the National Park Service where they said rail managers do not report liability as an issue. Listen, the county and the city already carry liability insurance. If somebody falls off the sidewalk and sprains their ankle in the sewer and decides to sue the county, they have insurance to cover that. Less of those things are bound to happen in the rail corridor because you don't have cars. All you have are bike and pedestrian traffic. So the issue of liability really is not a big deal. It's no different than any other public transportation issue.
Can I comment on that?
Quickly.
Okay. I think if he comments, I should be able to comment. And several times he's jumped in and I haven't had a chance. So once you've been a public official entrusted with the taxpayers' money, then you realize that liability is always an issue, and liability is always something that you look at. And if you're going to be putting a diesel train on a track and you're going to buy those tracks, then you're buying the liability that goes with it. If you're going to, in fact, put in a rail trail that is owned by the county, then you're buying that liability as well. you mentioned earlier that you are not supposed to be on the tracks and you aren't supposed to be on that trail now because it's private property, and they carry that liability. But once the county buys it, it's ours, and it's the taxpayers, and it's our liability, and the liability insurance would increase dramatically, obviously, if you're running a diesel train along there, and if, in fact, this trail goes through as well, of course you're going to increase your liability.
And
it's
Maryland
foolish
speaks
to think
from
so.
Experience.
That's right.
Can we jump back to this diesel issue? Maryland and some of the callers are obviously concerned about the presence of diesel. No one can guarantee what the fuel source in the corridor will be. It could be diesel, in which case, hey, we'll live with another bus on the route. However, there's a high likelihood that it won't be. And I have here, and Michael, you're welcome to look at this. You can also link off of SantaCruzTrail.org to see this, a list of, yeah, there must be 100 cities here, Dallas-Fort Worth, Denver International Airport, and on and on and on, who are using compressed natural gas to power their
public
vehicles.
That doesn't make any difference what
it,
they're using, David.
It does
this
make a difference.
No,
the
plan here is a diesel train. For you to keep saying otherwise is not telling the truth.
If you were to focus your efforts instead of trying to defeat the entire proposal, to focus on diesel, to be sure that we have a clean burning fuel source, then I think your efforts would be well spent.
It's not your business to tell me where to focus my efforts. I beg your pardon.
Clean burning fuels in there.
Insulted Maryland.
Yeah, he really has. I mean,
okay.
I don't
but
think he has any
to
right to tell me what to do.
This opportunity for the entire county of Santa Cruz because of that is, in my opinion,
dream up the plan.
Maryland, were you ever a teacher?
Yes, how did you know that?
I don't know, just wondering. I was a teacher. Well, teachers, are you a teacher who believed or believes in corporal punishment?
No, I'm against corporal punishment. In fact, I taught in schools, right?
His discussion here which led me to that question.
I don't believe in corporal punishment, but I believe in fairness and equity.
Okay, now we're going to go back to the phone lines. Herbie in Pleasure Point is someone I've wanted to hear from for the last hour, and we're so thankful that he waited. Herbie, you're on the air on KSCO. Maybe he didn't wait.
Poor Herbie.
Herbie, are you there? Going once. All right, here. Dave Allen!
Man, will this lady shut the hell up? Let the guy get a word in. My God! Liberal sophistic type of argument. Stonewall, run a boycott, anything the man has to say. When he makes a point, he squats on his point. You want to revoke this trade just because. It's ridiculous already. I can't hear Dave make a full statement, make a full point, make a full impact for his argument yet.
Well, it might have something to do with Marilyn's background of being the mayor.
She's not mayor anymore.
She's used to being in charge.
No, it may have something to do with that being a friend of David's, because if you were to figure out how much time David's spoken on this program and I've spoken on this program, it's not equal. And I don't think that you should be maligning
people on
the air.
Dave and I don't know each other. If I'm not mistaken, Dave's a DJ on this program, or at least used to be, right?
Dave was a talk host. He should know better than to malign.
Dave, actually, one thing I do know about Dave is he is big on personal responsibility.
That's right.
People taking responsibility for their own actions. Dave, maybe you got a comment on this.
I think
if you buy your house right next to the railroad tracks and then freak out when a train comes by, what does that say?
Tough. Move. You know what I mean?
Here we go again, characterizing people's motives.
Lady,
I think that's a malicious thing.
Lady,
Do you let him talk like that to people? I'm not going to be on the show where someone do that.
Just be cool, Marilyn.
I think that you should not allow that to happen.
Then get up and leave if you don't like it, okay? I'm being more than fair to you. You have talked much more than anybody else has on this radio program.
I think that's true.
And I've been bending over backwards in a good-natured way, but now you're starting to piss me off. So if you want to stay here and be a gentle woman and continue this discussion, we'll do it. But I think Dave is absolutely right. Okay?
Well, if he's been on the show, then obviously you think that he is. He's employed by you. Is that it?
No, he's not employed by me.
We were self-employed.
Yeah. But anyhow,
so listen,
you've been in politics. You should have a thick skin.
I have a very thick skin, but I didn't come on here to have people use terrible terms when they're talking.
Terrible terms?
Forgive me, I missed it. What was a terrible term?
I'm not going to repeat it, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, it was hideous.
What did you say? What did he say?
I didn't hear it, actually. It must have gotten by.
Well, here, I'm going to turn the mic
but
off.
You want to
repeat it? I don't know what you said, Dave.
What do you say?
This will be rebroadcast
between
the hours of.
All I said was, what is
it? Could we get back to another issue that's very relevant to the homeowners that live adjacent to the rail? And this is really important. A key factor for those folks is that their property values are going to go up, and I can say that with complete confidence, because partly because I've got a study here from the National Association of Realtors and the National Association of Home Builders that show when you add amenities to a neighborhood, be it highway access, trails, or public transportation, here it is, Michael, you can take a look at this, property values invariably go up, and this is common sense, right? If you live nearer to a train station, your property value goes up. The folks living along this track should be gleeful that this thing is being proposed right now, because they're probably going to gain 10 or 15% on their home values.
That's right. And furthermore, let me get this fact out. This same old routine of the eco-freak, so-called conservationist, that they build a little log cabin, or they inherit a log cabin out in the pristine woods. They have theirs. But somebody else comes along, earns a living, wants to buy a piece of land, have their log cabin, they can't. See, that makes them, once environmental enables the developer. Somebody wants to do what the other guy already has.
You have touched upon my
to.
Hot button, Dave. I'm a guy who was born and raised in Santa
Cruz.
That's
right.
And I remember what this place was like when it was really nice. Probably the way Marilyn remembers Benicia. I don't know if you were born and raised there, Marilyn, or not. But I have a real problem with people who are Johnny-come-latelys to this community and come in, move in, and then decide to slam the door behind them to everybody except their friends and relatives who want to come in. That's my hot button.
Amen.
And that really bothers me. Okay.
Well, and we
and there's a lot of that going on in this community.
So many people would benefit from this rail corridor, either being able to take
I don't know whether
rail.
I'm for it or not. I honestly don't. You know, that's what this program is all. It's about. It's a discussion.
Well,
but
you know,
okay.
Michael, I wasn't born here, but I'm almost qualified as a native. This February will be 34 years I've been in this county. I remember the boardwalk where there was happy, shiny faces working there. Tourists came, they left. Just stay around all year, calling themselves a student, and voting laws in that we got to pay for. That's what bursts on everybody's rear end. Second point is, the train track is there. Who cares if it's diesel? Diesel is less toxic pollutant than automobile fumes are, or gasoline engines. That is a fact.
Right. I think the diesel issue is really a non-starter, so far as I'm concerned.
Everybody, Michael, this goes back to the Gary Patton bypass that they were. 25 years ago, this wonderful moron named Gary Patton prevented Highway 1 from being expanded to three lanes. Now we have this constant gridlock. What is the extinct now? A freaking train service. Now, only if this is for tourists, good. I'm sick and tired of driving around with turkeys on the road.
Yeah. You know, the big issue, as far as I'm concerned, is we have a transportation crisis happening in Santa Cruz County right now. Anybody who's been on Highway 1 at any time of the day knows this. We need alternatives, and it's sitting right in front of us. It's a 31-mile forested park
that we can
be using for this.
Dave, let me say here, this idea of, we should pull out the train tracks and get a covered wagon, drop dead. I'm tired of people that are insensitive to old people, infirm people, or me. Now I'm handicapped. I don't plan to live this forever, but I see a lot of things now that are actually rude for people who are disabled a little bit.
Such as a trail.
Yeah, go down a trail and bumpity bump, railroad bed. Smoke another one, man.
Okay.
If I could get on that trolley and take a ride from Seascape down to Capitola, or even better, Santa Cruz, or God willing, Davenport, Wattsville, even Salinas, great! I would hop on a freaking train, go to Salinas, take a train over to Monterey, hang out Cannery Grove, do what everybody else does. I can't drive right now.
Yeah, this trail would actually connect you to the Monterey Trail. As I mentioned, they recently purchased their corridor, and a complete countywide trail is going in Monterey. I think we can do it in Santa Cruz.
Dave, want to thank you for calling. We'll be added to the program.
May I now make a comment?
Sure. Go right ahead.
I'd like to make a comment about a couple of things. One is that here's a I have a document from the Santa Cruz Regional Transportation Commission dated November 3rd, 2003. Diesel exhaust has been cited by the Air Resources Board of the State of California as a toxic air contaminant and a known lung carcinogen. Short comment, do whatever you want with it. The second thing is someone's going to have to show me a study where in a residential area and there is a train track behind people's homes and adjacent to people's homes, sometimes in front of people's homes, where the traffic is intentionally increased 18 times a day, 2,000 times a year, where it's going to increase my property values. If it was a trail where they took the train off the tracks, then I could think that it would increase the property values. And in fact, we had trails that we put in homes where I was the mayor. But it seems incomprehensible to me. Dave can say it's a non-starter, but it seems incomprehensible to me to think that running a train that does not exist now, that's a diesel train.
Yeah, so David, why did you hand me this thing that says home buyers sold on trails?
Because
it doesn't talk anything about a train or a trolley or anything. It just talks about...
What this does here is quotes both the National Association of Realtors and the National Association of Home Builders on amenities, trails, train stations... public transportation... and highway access are shown as three amenities that increase property values. Now, other things are sidewalks, park areas.
Those words are there? Maybe I missed it.
Highway access, trails, and down here you've got near public transportation. Those are generally known as factors that increase property values.
Yeah.
And both two reputable organizations have confirmed that. If you argue with the National Association of Realtors, I'd like to see what your sources are.
All right.
No, but may I just make one other comment? Could I see that document?
Sure.
This says, just to repeat the risk of being redundant, it says near public transportation, and it says trails. It doesn't say with trains running adjacent to your home 18 times a day. Let's just make that distinction.
Right. Ben and Selena says she's a rude big mouth. A caller says MZ is being mean to Marilyn. Just let the guests talk to each other and stop interrupting them. Here's line five. Richard. Is it Richard N. Watsonville?
Mike, it's me.
How are you, Richard?
Well, I was fine until I started listening to this stuff. But
now what happened?
Well, you know, this old hag, man, she's only concerned about what? Seascape to Capitola.
Richard, now I've got to step in and say that was a mean thing to say. That was uncalled for.
About what?
What you just called Marilyn, one of our guests, a name. Did Dave Allen do that before? Is that
she's been doing all morning long is just interrupting everybody to the point where her interruptions are... Absolutely, I don't know, man. It's almost to the point where I'm thinking, you're right, Mike. These people come here, they buy themselves a little piece of property, they think they got something to say. They really think they got something to say, man.
Richard,
they do.
Richard, have you ever been in the rail corridor?
Yeah, plenty of them.
What do you think about it?
I'll tell you what, man. Before you want to start talking about Aptos or anything about Aptos going to Crapitola, you get us a rail system going from Santa Cruz over to San Jose. And you go look at that rail corridor up through the valley. Then tell me about it. There's a whole bunch of underground tunnels up there, isn't there, Mike?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, those things have never been used since they closed them up. I mean, those right-of-ways are much smaller than 30 feet, I believe.
Okay. All right. Hey, Richard, yeah. Geez, thanks.
As far as insulting the woman there, I mean, the woman is an insult. She's not born and raised in Benicia. We don't have them kind of people up there, Mike.
Richard, it doesn't matter where a person is born and raised, okay? I mean,
she's trying to come down here and lay the law down on us the way it should be in the EIRs and all this other crap.
She has a right to be politically active. Anybody does.
Not in that way, man. Not in that way. She's just a greedy little, I don't know what you would call it. I mean,
okay,
she's only concerned about Aptos.
Richard, I love you, but thank you for calling. Talk to you again next time here. A caller says he's going to stop listening after Dave Allen told someone to shut up. Dave Wright is irresponsible in telling people to walk on the rail corridor. He didn't. I he said not to. I was the one who said. So I guess I'm the irresponsible one. I'm trying to read this. Here are there are carcinogens on the rail ties, which have been prohibited by the environmental. I guess. All right. Let's find out. I think Herbie from Pleasure Point has called back. Is that you, Herbie?
That's me. Thanks for getting back to me. You all are handling this very passionate and heated discussion very well.
Thank you. I didn't mean to get upset with Marilyn here, but I had to let people know. When people start complaining that they're not being treated fairly on this radio station, it really pushes my button, because there is no more fair radio station and no more fair host than me.
I understand. In Marilyn's defense, I think she's doing an admirable job trying to go point for point against what appears to be going up against a Republican congressman. But here's what I'd like to say. I'd like to say that I live adjacent to the tracks. The train, the diesel train, is spelled out in the preliminary project report. Diesel train will go by 2,160 times per year. It's going to be a circus. It doesn't make me happy. The Board of Realtors will not cop to the fact that there will be class action suits around non-disclosure that this was going down as of 1999. So it's a can of worms.
It's going to be hard to sue your real estate agent when your property values go up.
Well, that's the rub. 2,160 passes does not make for a happy camper. I don't know what you're talking about, Dave, but diesel and 2,160 passes, you must be on some kind of strange stuff.
Are there any buses going by your house right now?
Of course there are buses in the city.
Okay.
And why add to it?
And how has that detracted from your property value?
Because it's not my backyard.
So if it goes on the street in your front yard, it's okay, but in your backyard, it's a different story somehow.
Have you ever sat behind a bus on a busy street?
I'd like to nail you down on what the difference is.
Do you sit behind a bus on a city street and say, this is nirvana? Come on, let's just get real about this.
I mean, are you arguing against public transportation?
I'm arguing against the project. The project calls for a diesel train. We don't want it. It has to be a diesel train because of the crash test. Tell the truth.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, actually, there are a number of studies. You know, China is actually going to use...
We're not talking about China. We're talking about Santa Cruz.
...for the 2008 Olympics, if you want to look into that. Read about natural gas trains. It's an interesting subject.
Speak English with our project. Make it real. Come up with something that's feasible, that's fair for the entire community, and we're behind you. But if you've got a hidden agenda about getting your trail going on, it's not going to work in this community. We're not behind you.
That's certainly part of our agenda, is to get a trail in that corridor. But what would you rather see in the corridor? And would you rather Union Pacific own it, or would you rather Santa Cruz County own it?
Of course we'd like to see Santa Cruz County own it and make it something that is reasonable, healthy, and something that we'll all enjoy, but we, along the corridor, are not going to like this a bit.
How do you propose that we get passes? How do you propose that we get ownership of the corridor without the trolley? There
it's
is no other
22.
Way to release
it
Prop 116.
It is not a trolley, David. It is a diesel train. It has to be because of the crash test. Tell the truth.
Every engineer that studied this has called it a trolley. Every report that
of course
Marilyn
they do, because they're proponents for it. We're talking about the real deal.
To, but a trolley is the common nomenclature.
Tell the truth.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. I think what you're saying is the truth, and for David to say that what Marilyn and I have in front of us is a trolley is not true. There's not one word in any document that I have that is current. The initial study that they are now putting out to the EIR, which is not my EIR, it's the county EIR, says it's a two-car self-propelled rail diesel car.
Two to three car.
Okay. This one says two car. So it's a diesel.
All right. Well, Herbie, thank you for calling the KSCO. Recalling the KSCO Saturday
thank
special.
You.
Appreciate it. There goes Herbie in Pleasure Point. Let's go to Mike in Santa Cruz. Mike, welcome to KSCO. You're on the Saturday special.
Good afternoon, I should say. Good morning. Boy, interesting show this morning. Let me just point out
Rosie and Kay were right. I said, wait a minute, a Saturday special for on that subject? Nah. I said, you're going to get
who would have known, right?
Than I am,
Who would have known this morning? I did a study back in college a little bit about diesel. Actually, I'd be honest with you when I say this. I'm a little bit geared towards the rail. I'm kind of a rail fan myself. I've been in Santa Cruz County and lived in Santa Cruz for over 40 years. So if I seem slightly biased, I'm not trying to cause any waves here. But I've noticed that if there is a rail line that is put between beyond Capitola and Aptos, wouldn't a commute that would allow people to travel via train as opposed to being in their cars be a lot better than having the emissions that a car gives out when we travel, as you well know, in the streets, hundreds of thousands of cars across 17, as opposed to X amount of diesel trains that travel periodically? Is that not a better trade-off? And opposed to driving your car in
of course
with
it
safety
is.
As well too.
Public transportation makes sense in a lot of ways.
Right.
The county regional transportation commission has ruled out running a commuter train. So everybody thinks that that would be wonderful if we could do that, and but that's not what the county has voted to decide that they wanted to even consider. So I think that's unfortunately off the table. I think what we have to do is dispense with this plan, which is a foolish plan. And then if you want to propose that to your county supervisor, then you could propose that to your county supervisor.
With this quote-unquote trolley, I agree that it is a diesel, but that's not
what I'm
driving.
It is a diesel, yeah.
Which I'm not opposed to personally. But is this a seasonal position where this train runs only during the summertime? So
It runs 4 months out of the year, 18 times a day. Hmm. And so it runs 120 days is what they're saying.
Okay. Is that so bad as opposed to the amount of traffic that's being, you know, reduced by having that train there?
It really doesn't. I mean, the studies that they have show that it really doesn't reduce the existing travel any more than taking 63 cars off the road. What they're trying to do is increase recreation and increase tourism.
Well, I think there's
but
a
that's part of our that's yeah. this county's revenue, isn't it?
Well, I'm actually very interested to hear from this person who's studied diesel and doesn't have any issues with diesel. I mean, we're surrounded by diesel vehicles, and it's part of modern day life.
Exactly.
I hope we go to a cleaner burning source, but if that doesn't happen, we can live with diesel, especially because it brings us this incredible park. But I think there's a schism on the opposite side, on the folks that oppose this, regarding the number of people who are coming to use this. On the one hand, they say, wow, this is going to draw a bunch of new folks to Capitola. What about parking? What about all these new bodies? Well, that to me is an argument that says this trolley will be successful because people will come here and they're concerned more people will come here and actually use the thing. On the other hand, they're saying, well, this thing's not economically viable. Nobody's going to come here and use it. The trolley's just not economically viable. I'd like to know where you guys stand.
No,
do you
I'm
think
not
the trolley's
going
to succeed or do you think the trolley's going to fail?
I'm not saying there's not going to be a trolley, David. It's a train. I'm not saying that I think it won't succeed. I think if you look at things like this, they don't succeed. So I'm not saying it'll work because, okay. As Michael said, to pay $9 to go 6 miles from Seascape to Capitola, I can't see how it's going to work.
So it won't bring any additional traffic then?
I don't know that it will or not, but I don't know where they would park, and I don't know, you know, how you're going to get people to come and do that.
If you think it's going to fail, then I hear you saying it's not going to draw additional bodies to Capitola and Aptos. So
it may draw
an additional parking.
It may draw a body or two or 10 or 12, but I don't think they're going to be able to bring 25,000 people to come and take this train and subsidize it.
Yeah.
And I worry about if it doesn't work, then the county is, as you know, liable to reimburse the state for the funds that they're going to get.
Actually, that is probably not the case. But
here's
the thing.
You keep using probable. It
well,
is
you know,
the
none
case.
Of these things, none of these things are assured. To come to Santa Cruz County, where our number one and two industries are tourism and agriculture, and suddenly argue against something that supports tourism, to me, is really irresponsible. I mean, that's one of the primary revenue sources for people that live in
I'm all
county.
For tourism, but I don't think this is going to increase tourism. I'm wondering who's behind it. It's going to go from Seascape to Capitola. I think if I owned Seascape, I would be behind this. I would be putting
Seascape
money
is behind
in.
It.
I would be putting money into that because they can put it on their brochures and say, guess what? We've got a trolley. You can be sure they're not going to call it a diesel train.
Aptos
We've got a
changes.
Trolley that is going to take people to Capitola.
Yeah,
and it's going to look
Aptos?
Good on their brochure. But
well, Aptos Chamber supports it. Capitola Chamber supports it. The Capitola City Council, they have come out in favor of this proposal.
The City Council didn't vote on it the other night. You were there. So they haven't said that they support it.
All they were talking about
was
environmental impact report.
You guys this argument during the break.
One quick.
Nora, it's high time. Thank you for reminding us. And let's see. Micah, thank you for calling Saturday Special. We're going to be back right after the break. We'll just have a few more minutes left, and we have two callers on the line. We do have open lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340. It's MZ with Marilyn and Nick on the Saturday Special, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Ever heard someone refer to a car as a lemon? Man, you don't want that clunker. It's a lemon. Why do people say that? What did lemons ever do to them? Do they resent being refreshed on a hot summer's day? Truth is, lemons deserve to be celebrated. And V8 Splash has raised the lemon to new heights with their new peach lemonade and raspberry lemonade. They're delicious and refreshing, just like lemonade should be. But because they're from V8 Splash, they're more nutritious, too. New V8 Splash lemonades. Lemonades that are actually good for you.
Fantastic. The Priceline.com supercomputer is busy getting the best deals on hotel rooms.
Computing. Computing.
It zeroes in on the exact part of town and star level you specify, and then it lets you name your own price, ultimately providing some of the lowest rates possible for shishi hotel rooms around the globe.
Acquiring. Acquiring.
It's done it again. The Priceline.com supercomputer, providing deluxe accommodations via discount computations.
Priceline.com. I think, therefore I save.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nicolaiason, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. I love the looks of it. I like the grids in the front, and we decided just to have the plain windows in the rest of the house, but it really dressed up the front of the house. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. All the neighbors, when they'd walk by, they commented on the windows, and in turn asked us who did it. We told them, and they have had some done themselves.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601, 426-2601.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
Okay, if you want to stop the trolley folly, you can log on to www.scarred.org, and it's pronounced scared.org, to reflect the concerns of residents along the right of way. Actually, I would encourage you to tune into both of these websites. Actually, the website maintained by the opponents of this project, which I just said was scarred.org, and those in favor of the project are maintaining a website called Santa Cruz Trail, all one word, santacruztrail.org. So give a check into either of those and find out more in writing, so that you can decide if this radio program has not helped you along those lines.
A footnote to the SantaCruzTrail.org website is, if you're interested in seeing a photo tour of almost the entire corridor, click on SantaCruzTrail.org and click the link that says photo tour, and you can then
like
see...
Like a virtual tour where you click
We actually just hit one button and it'll take you through a little slideshow of Aptos, Capitola, Santa Cruz, and so forth. So you can see a lot of rail corridor photos.
While we're talking about it, this is something we're probably going to do a promo here one of these days. We should have a while back. We do our best to post the Saturday special audio, full two-hour program, on our website at www.ksco.com, so that if you miss the Saturday special and you miss the rerun the same night from 10 p.m. to midnight, never fear, because you can log on to our website and click Saturday special in the left-hand margin. And what is supposed to happen is that the last Saturday special should start playing so that you can do it on demand.
Great.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that's great.
Great for technology is wonderful, is it not? It is 6 minutes before 12 noon, 6 minutes before the end of our program. There's two C's, yeah. Please be sure to correct your missing C. S-C-C-A. www.wred. I must have said it wrong here before. So it's www.sccarred.org. And to be fair, I should spell out Santa Cruz. No, I don't have to spell it. Santa Cruz Trail .org. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Go to Gary in Santa Cruz. Welcome to KSCO, Gary.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say a few things. I'm not a homeowner, first of all, but I did listen to the whole program here. And I just wanted to say that I thought that they were being very unfair to Maryland, I believe it was.
I was?
In general, it was against the whole thing was like oriented toward this guy named Nick. It seemed to be, everybody seemed to be jumping on her, and she was very polite, and she, may I speak now? And she had to do that where he was allowed to interrupt. And then you have a 3-second delay. When people come in and say things, you can turn that down before they get words out like hag and things like that, because I don't
Gary,
think that's right.
Gary.
And
Gary,
you say that
Gary,
you're say that you fail.
Gary, I don't know who you are. Where did you get all the info? How do you know that we have a 3-second delay? How do you know what you seem to know about? I mean, who in the world are you?
This is the way you are, Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jack in Capitola, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday special.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm quite surprised at this continuing debate over the diesel. This diesel trolley probably would have about 300 horsepower. However, nobody has said anything about the Union Pacific train that goes by 3 times a week each direction, so that's 6 trips, and it has 7,500 horsepower of diesel. And it's nobody seems to bring that up.
Well, and you just did.
Yeah.
Well,
I just wanted to bring it up because
it
seems
certainly relevant.
It seems unfair to go after a 300 horsepower train or 200 horsepower, whatever it is, and yet nobody talks about 7,500 horsepower.
Well,
and the other thing is,
life is not fair.
And if Union Pacific continues to own the tracks, we won't be having any other conversations like this. Maryland's voice won't be heard because, as Union Pacific, as the owner, we simply don't have a voice on what runs on the track and how frequently. If the county owns this track, public process takes over and we can all have a voice.
Exactly, and I agree with you 100%. I'm a retired railroader. In fact, the last suntan special that ran in 1958, I was part of the crew. Now, I live
My
in Capitola.
Gosh.
I live 60 feet from the track. And believe me, the train doesn't bother me, and I don't hear any of my neighbors complaining about the train.
Are you hard of hearing? Maybe, I don't know. Just. Thank you for calling the Saturday Special. Let's go to Line 3, Joe in Scotts Valley. You're on the KSCO Saturday Special. You're going to be getting either the last or the second of the last caller. Go.
Yes, hi. I wanted to, you know, point out that you guys are all lost in the details. Fundamentally, I don't think that this whole business is going to be financially feasible. Okay, I don't want to own part of Union Pacific. If I do, I would buy stocks in the company. And the idea is that if this had been such a financial bonanza, a private enterprise would have jumped in there already and they would have done it. So therefore, I think that, you know, you're asking basically the taxpayers of the county to hold the bag for this fiasco, and I think it's wrong.
Okay, thank you very much. Now let's go to our last caller of the day, who is this? Hello,
this is Mike.
Yeah, who's this?
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and agree with that last. You hung up on him like he was some kind of nut.
No, no. I just wanted to get to you.
You guys have
you
been
be thanking
been.
Me for because I wanted to make sure you got on the air.
Right, right. No, well, I just wanted to agree with that other guy that said that you were very unfair to what's her name.
Okay, I'm going to hang up on you too then. No, we got to have a little bit of fun. All right, do you think I was unfair? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Let's ask the lady herself. Do you think I was unfair?
I think when you yelled at me, you were being unfair to me because
okay,
I think...
you pushed my button. Golly, listen, I'm the mayor of KSCO. You're used to being the mayor of Venetia.
This is your community. You make the rules. I'm here as a visitor to make my comments. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate
you
doing this.
It's good.
I think it's a good forum.
I didn't mean... my heart started pumping really fast there.
But it's okay.
And I don't like to lash out at guests. But you know, something happens to me when someone starts, who's a guest on the radio program, starts telling the host of the radio program how to run the radio program.
I was just making a comment. Thank you for having me. I'm in your debt. I appreciate it.
Okay, whatever. We love you. You guys are great. Both of you, thanks for appearing on the show. David Wright
and
Marilyn O'Rourke.
Thanks for having us, Michael.
This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. And join us next week, okay?
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, here's the news.
USA Radio Network.